Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
The happiest time of year, this holiday season, seems to be in many, many cases, at least when the clients, you know, show up on the doorstep in January, they were the last straw. Something about those holiday that the family being together or just
like too much togetherness, right?
Exactly. And so people sort of really come through those floodgates in January.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the nightmare before Christmas, divorce holiday planning. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So when you and your ex are going through a divorce or you're separating out your households, there are always issues that you need to resolve, and you just know that some of them are going to be bigger than others. The holidays are often one of the most difficult ones or issues to work through.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, they can be just a big one because the holidays are a time where you, your soon-to-be ex, and your families, you know, you have traditions, you have things that you've been doing for years, and a lot of emotion tied up in those holidays. And now that's all upended as you go forward in these separate households. So today we're going to discuss some of the common holiday issues that Rebecca and I have seen over the years as divorce attorneys. And we're going to let you in on some ideas to prevent this from being the nightmare before Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you how many times like the phone starts ringing before the holidays if you're a divorce attorney, because everybody's all concerned about what's going to happen, especially with the kids. But, you know, even on top of what happens with the kids, you know, it's also difficult if you're the one who doesn't have the kids that for the first time, or maybe your kids are grown, but or you didn't have any children, but you're alone on the holidays for the first time. So we're going to talk about all of those different types of things that happen in this episode. But what we wanted to also highlight is that January is known among divorce professionals as divorce month. Yeah. And it's called
the floodgates open.
The floodgates open. And December is what sort of starts that ramp up process to January. And so, you know, I thought I would just kind of walk through some of the reasons why January is known as divorce month, or why there's such a huge surge of filings for divorce in January. And, you know, one of them is the stress of the holidays. People are just so stressed out that they end up, maybe that's the straw that broke the camel's back, and then they come running to the divorce lawyer's office in January, or hopefully they're running to Breaking Free Mediation. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Good idea. But yeah, no, it's funny. I've always noticed in almost 30 years that the happiest time of year, this holiday season, seems to be in many, many cases, at least when the clients, you know, show up on the doorstep in January, they were the last straw. Something about those holiday that the family being together or just
like too much togetherness, right?
Exactly. And so people sort of really come through those floodgates in January.
Yeah. And another reason is that some people are just kind of holding on to get through the holidays, you know, one last set of holidays before filing. They don't want to be the bad guy filing for divorce and serving somebody right on the day before Christmas or whatever.
Be the Grinch. Yeah.
Although I had a guy one time, I was representing the wife, who worked out of the country, and he was coming home on Christmas Eve. And so we had to grab him when he entered the state, and we served him on Christmas Eve at the airport. I know it sounds awful, but you know, you got to do what you got to do in cases sometimes. But the other reasons that January can be a big surge is, you know, that people want to get the marriage deduction one last time.
The tax deduction.
December 31st is the day that determines your tax filing status. So if you're married on December 31st, you can do married filing joint or married filing separate. Or if you're divorced already by that time, then you can file accordingly. Sometimes it's people are getting their holiday bonuses, so now they have the money to hire a divorce attorney. Or my favorite, which is New Year's resolutions. New year, new you.
Yeah, new year, without new
the,
you.
Without the loser spouse.
Yeah. My New Year's resolution is no more you. So yeah. I've heard that. I'm not going through one more year. And it's, we laugh, but it's really, I don't want to go through one more year in this marriage that's not working.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. So January really is that time of year where we do see many people making that decision that it's time to go forward and move through the divorce process or the separation process. But if you're already in that process or you're recently divorced or separated, then usually the biggest issue that comes up around this holiday season is parenting time with your kids, if you have children. That is the most volatile, the most upsetting, the most, hotly discussed and negotiated and debated thing about how the children are going to spend time in what are usually two new households, you know, or two households where mom and dad or mom and mom or dad and dad are separate. And I have always found, I think you'd say the same, Rebecca, that especially if the children are young or of tender years, that the holidays become especially an issue because there's that whole joy and wonder of the holidays around Hanukkah for young children or Santa for Christmas for young children.
Yes, who gets to watch them open their presents. And,
I mean, isn't it Christmas Eve and Christmas Day that waking up on Christmas morning, I swear, is the most difficult thing to negotiate by
far. That's a huge one. And Christmas Eve too, because a lot of people have family Christmas Eve kind of standing traditions. And so I've seen that be a biggie as well. The way of dealing with shared parenting time over the holidays is, I mean, honestly, there's probably as many ways as there are people on the planet, plan ends up being different. But kind of the main ways are, you know, alternating. You can either alternate the entire Christmas break every single year, which is not usually what people do because Christmas break is usually 2 weeks long. So a lot of times people will alternate. You get the first week this year, I get the first week next year, and then, you know, alternate the second weeks as well. That way someone gets Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, someone gets New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. The other thing that I've seen people do is split the time at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which is, you know, like noon on Christmas Eve to noon on Christmas Day, and then noon on Christmas Day to noon on the 26th or something like that. I have seen people, you know, micro it down to like, you get 2 hours on Christmas Eve, I get 2 hours on Christmas Eve, you get 2 hours on Christmas morning, you get 2 hours on Christmas morning. But you know what? I would encourage people to think about your kids.
Yeah. You know, it's not, that's the big issue, right, Rebecca? This whole parenting plan around the holidays, it's about the kids, not about the fact that you're going to miss your kids. yes, it's going to be hard maybe to not be with them, but what's best for your kids? And is bouncing back and forth between two households in 2-hour increments, like you're talking about, is that what's best for them?
Yeah, I mean, the poor little things, especially when they're little, to have to deal with that, you know, it makes it really difficult. I mean, one of the other things is that people do sometimes is if you're getting along, now this isn't an always an easy thing, you have to be mature, people. And
but, be the grown-ups.
But, you know, if you're ready to be grown-ups and be and you can be in the same space, then potentially... doing it together, you know, invite your ex over. I did that in my past life when my older kids were little and my ex-husband was, you know, living nearby. I invited him over for Christmas Eve dinner. He didn't always accept. Most of the time he declined, but I invited him and he did come a couple of times. So, you know,
it can work. I had one couple that when I was mediating their divorce, they worked together really well. They were very respectful and they really wanted, they had young children. I think they were 2 and 4 or 3 and 5. And they actually put right into their parenting plan that Christmas for the next 3 years was going to be in the former marital residence in the home where I believe the wife was staying with the kids. Dad was going to come over and it was written right in there. He'd come over after the kids, just before the kids were going to bed on Christmas Eve so they could do the cookies and the tucking in. And then they put in clauses about both of them having equal responsibility about putting together the toys, like who was going to put the bikes together in the Barbie dream house, that they were going to share the expense of the presents and give only joint presents so that there was no, disparity in the gifts the kids were receiving from mom and dad and from Santa. They agreed that some of the presents would be from Santa and they agreed that he would stay in the guest room in the house and be there when the kids woke up. And they did that very successfully. I'm sure there were issues.
Thing. Yeah, and it was thing, especially for the kids, you know. But one of the things that I thought of that we should definitely make sure we say that you, when you were talking about all these different agreements, is the really one of the key things is to have an agreement in writing and have it be super specific. You know, don't just say Christmas Eve with mom, Christmas Day with dad, or whatever, because now you're going to get down to what time. And who's going to pick them up and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So, you know, have a time for the exchange and, you know, ideally even say who's going to pick up.
Yeah, where they're going to be dropped off.
Yeah,
I think people think that talking about those things in advance, because it is difficult, is something to be avoided. And what's really important, not just with holiday parenting time, but with all parenting time, is if you at least think through these things at a time when you can be a little less emotional maybe and talk about these things and give yourselves a default plan, then you at least know what will happen. Unless, of course, the two of you agree to do something different, because that's the other thing that people maybe need to understand is even if the agreement says you're going to do one thing, if you two decide to do something else, you can vary. That's not, you know, there's no parenting plan police who are going to come running in and go, wait a minute, it doesn't say 6 o'clock in your agreement. It says 8 o'clock.
You two, no one's standing in your living room, right?
Yeah, no judge is there.
No judge is standing in your living room. Oh, excuse me. Marital settlement agreement paragraph 9 says, you know, no, the judge won't hear about it unless somebody complains.
Right. And no one complains if the two of you agree. But
correct.
But if you don't agree, and this is the key, is if you have that parenting plan like Rebecca was just talking about that says mom is going to drop the kids off at dad's residence on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. and you don't agree to do something different, then you know that mom is supposed to be dropping the kids off at 6 p.m. at dad's residence. And there's
not
a lot of back and forth.
I know a lot of people think it's better to just be sort of loosey-goosey and the kids will come when they want or whatever, but it's just really so much better for the kids if it's specific. And a lot of people don't want to bring it up. They think, oh, maybe it's going to cause more grief to bring it up and put an agreement in writing or whatever. But the truth is it causes way more grief if there's gray area. That's when the fighting happens.
And there's no easy resolution either, because just like there's no police officer or a judge in your house to say you varied from the agreement, if you have a gray area in your agreement and you can't figure out how to agree on what you're going to do, how do you decide? You
That's
don't
a very
have
good
someone
point.
There. You don't
That's
have
a very
someone
good point.
To decide for you.
What can the judge enforce?
Yeah.
You take it in front of the judge and you say, judge, enforce this. And the judge looks at the agreement and it just says, well, the kids will just kind of do what they want. They'll come between mom and dad on the holidays. The judge has nothing to say. There's nothing for the judge to enforce. So
Give
the judge the teeth that he or she is going to need down the road to enforce the agreement if you need it to be enforced.
Well, and not just enforce it, but don't put yourselves, or more importantly, your kids in the situation where you and their other parent cannot, you know, there's no agreement on how they're going to get put, you know, passed between households during the holidays. That's stressful for your kids. You know, your kids, right? Holidays are all about the kids. That is the joy and wonder of the season. That is why people fight or have discussions over where the kids are going to be when they wake up on Christmas morning, because everyone wants to see that look on children's faces as they come down the stairs and see the pile of presents under the tree that Santa, and that he, you know, took a bite out of the cookie and all
yeah.
that, right? You know,
right.
That's the excitement. Or my husband always tells this fabulous story about Easter when his kids were little, that he used to take a powder puff with powder on it, and he'd do Easter bunny footprints
for the kids to find
in the morning, right? But that's one of those family traditions and one of those things that families do, and parents feel like they're missing out. But if you leave all of this open to conflict or discussion and leave these gray areas with your co-parent as you're going through the holidays, the ones who miss out and the ones who get caught up in that and are your children. And it's really better to have a default, because if you find yourself on Christmas Eve not knowing what time the kids are going to get dropped off, there is no one there on Christmas Eve to resolve that question.
No, and your divorce attorney does not want to deal with that on Christmas Eve.
Yes, please don't call us on Christmas Eve.
And your divorce attorney has no power to make anybody do anything anyway. A little reminder of one of the things I always say is that the only person who has any power over anyone is the judge through their orders. And the only way you can get a judge to make orders is to file motions and set them for hearing. And so your attorney can't do anything anyway. So
people will call. I've always had the clients call it or text at 2 o'clock in the morning with like, oh, he just drove by the house or this just happened. And you know that I'm like, I'm not the right person to be calling at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing anyone can do.
And the police
time.
Aren't going to do anything if your parenting plan isn't saying what it's supposed to or whatever either. So don't.
Well, that's a really good point. If you, God forbid that you have to have the police involved in enforcing your parenting plan, but should it ever be an issue, you need a parenting plan that's clear. That doesn't have those gray areas.
The police aren't going to get involved anyway unless there's some sort of a pickup order, which you can't even get from like a duty judge or something unless you have a parenting plan that's specific.
Right.
So, and you can show that there's been a violation of it.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com. Also, make sure to download your free meditation at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation. Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on The Nightmare Before Christmas, Divorce Holiday Planning.
I always tell my clients, you know, when your co-parent asks you for a change in the parenting plan, take that very seriously and consider granting their wish, because sooner or later, you're going to need to make a change as well. So I would say that to you all, you know.
Absolutely. Flexible as you can. Don't use the opportunity to be spiteful, because then they're not going to want to be so nice to you when you want the change.
Yeah. Tit for tat or karma comes back.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including dealing with high conflict personalities with Megan Hunter, the co-founder of the High Conflict Institute.
Is some of it tied to having a borderline personality disorder or something like that?
Narcissism.
You know, maybe they can't change it, or maybe they're unaware of how to. Is that
right? So that's, yeah, great question.
And now we return to today's show.
So, but even going back to creating the parenting plan, you know, one of the things that Susan, you and I have talked about and we've seen in our practice is where people are flexible in creating these parenting plans and saying, hey, you know what, I can create a new tradition. I can have my Christmas Eve dinner on the 23rd every other year. You know, so if every other year I don't get Christmas Eve, fine, I'll have my Christmas Eve dinner on a different day. The kids will take the presents whenever.
Yeah. That is, we did that with our own situation where the kids would always have Christmas morning with their mom. They'd wake up at their mom's and do Christmas morning, and then they'd come over to our house in the afternoon, and we'd do it all over again. And let me tell you, they never minded having two full on Christmases. It was just as fun, and it was our new tradition. Like you just said, Rebecca, we came up with, you know, a different schedule for how the day would go. And my husband and I, when the kids were at their mom's, we came up with our own traditions for what we would do on Christmas morning with just the two of us. So, you know, there's a lot that you can do when you're putting the kids first and always remembering that what's important is that they have a good holiday and that you enjoy some of it with them, whether it be on the actual holiday or a different day, if that's how it works out.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes you may have a parenting plan in place, but you may need to change it for some reason. I mean, that happens too. I know, especially for people who have crazy work schedules, I've represented guys who are firefighters who had 24 hours on and 36 off, or maybe it was 48 off or whatever it was. But so every year it was different for them, and it was kind of hard to predict if it said in the parenting plan they got Christmas Eve or whatever. So sometimes they have to make changes, or you have to make changes.
Right.
And requesting those changes, can also be a whole thing. So, you know, we recommend that you learn how to communicate with each other in a way that's effective.
Right. You know, then there are a lot of different tools for doing that. One of the things I think that we would both say is make sure you address these changes in advance. You know, don't leave it till the day before you want to make a change, unless that's absolutely necessary. Try to address it in advance. And, you know,
especially like as soon as you know.
Yeah. Reach out to your co-parent.
Because if the person knows that you've known about this change for 3 weeks or something, and then you didn't bring it up, they're going to be way less inclined to go along with your...
Yeah, well, and the holidays are a time when people do plan things. They have family, friends, parties they're going to. So giving the other party notice as much as possible is a great idea. And then, you know, how you address the issue with your co-parent. You're asking... I always tell my clients, you know, when your co-parent asks you for a change in the parenting plan, take that very seriously and consider granting their wish, because sooner or later you're going to need to make a change as well. So I would say that to you all. You know,
absolutely. Be as flexible as you can. Don't use the opportunity to be spiteful, because then they're not going to want to be so nice to you when you want the change.
Yeah. Tit for tat, or karma comes back. But, you know, there are other ways to always address these things too. I know one of the things that Rebecca and I are proponents of is using, there are co-parenting apps out there that can help you, you know, keep your schedule straight. You know, they can do a myriad of things. In fact, we just interviewed Michael Daniels, the founder and creator of the FAIR app, FAYR, which is our personal favorite co-parenting app. And actually in their app, that's another episode coming up, so keep an ear out for it. But in their app, check it out, because they actually have, you don't even need to pick up the phone to speak to your co-parent. They actually have a function right in the calendar where you can send a change request to the other parent with an explanation if need be, just in a quick and easy, you know, basically touch of a button, and they can respond. If more, you know, is needed than that, it also has various functions for communication, but it's all done within the app.
And what's beautiful about their app, too, is that it's all now documented. So, you know, you can if there's a problem down the road and you end up in front of a judge or in front of a mediator, you can just, with a touch of a button, you can print out all the communication and say, I asked for this change. Here was the response that I got. And it's all right there within that app, which is really, really critical, I think.
Yeah, you can download everything off of that. So that's just, and that's just helpful, even if you're not in court, just having everything in writing when you're making changes is something that, you know, I know we're lawyers and we can't help saying get it all in writing, but it truly is the best way to go about things. So if you're not working through one of the apps, you know, do your change request through an email, or at least memorialize that change. If you pick up the phone or have a conversation with your co-parent and you agree to a change, send a quick email confirming the change. This is to confirm that we agreed we're going to switch Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Just so that you do have something in writing, something you can both refer back to, because it's a very busy time of year with a lot going on. And again, the less you two have to go back and forth, the better, because it can get heated. So, you know, another thing, and I think we've referenced this book in some of our other podcasts, Rebecca, but I know you are a believer in the BIFF method, and so am I, the B-I-F-F method of communicating with your co-parent when things can get a little heated. This is a book out by Bill Eddy, who's one of the co-founders of the High Conflict Institute. And BIFF refers to keep your responses brief, informative, friendly, and firm, rather than getting and devolving into a long, drawn-out dissertation. So, you know, if you are doing this in emails with your co-parent, just, you know, stick with the BIFF method. It's very successful.
Yeah, we actually interviewed Megan Hunter, who is Bill Eddy's partner, in a different episode on how to deal with high conflict personalities. And, you know, obviously that's something that comes out even more around the holidays is, if somebody's a high conflict personality to begin with, the holidays only make it worse. And so especially a good time to BIFF, and also listen to that episode with Megan Hunter to get some further tips on especially if you're dealing with a high conflict type of personality.
Right. And if you are, you know, one of the things she would say, it goes back to what Rebecca and I just talked about a minute ago, is your best course of action is to have a very detailed parenting plan that cannot, you know, be messed with, so that you know what's going to happen. So that's a great episode to listen to if you've, unfortunately, that is what you're dealing with. But some other, you know, more positive things that you can do to try to work through the holidays and keep, you know, sort of make these new traditions or sharing traditions is that idea of sharing those family traditions. Just because you're now in two households doesn't mean you have to let the traditions go that you've created as a family. You're still a family. You're just a different type of family. You're a restructured family. Right. I had one family, I told Rebecca this story, and I thought this was really sweet. They had the elf on the shelf tradition in their household. Every morning the kids woke up and went running around the house to find out where the elf was. And they agreed and put it right in their agreement and talked about this well in advance of the holidays, that the elf was going to travel with the kids and each parent was going to maintain that tradition for the children in their separate households as the kids went between the two households in their parenting time. The kids did it. The kids thought it was awesome that the elf traveled, you know, cross town over to the other parent's house. They didn't, again, they thought this was all perfectly normal and wonderful, and that the holidays were still a magical elfy time for them. So those are things to consider, is that just because you're now in two households, you can still have your family traditions. If you put your kids sort of at that forefront and work with your co-parent.
So we only have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure that we address if you're single during the holidays and you're alone for the first time and you're having a hard time about this. You know, I think you had mentioned an article that you had that just came out on the Worthy blog.
I just read this article actually yesterday when we were talking about taping this episode. I found it on the Worthy.com blog. And for our listeners who don't know Worthy, it's an online luxury jewelry reselling platform where a lot of people go to sell their engagement rings post-divorce or things like that. But they've also really become a leader in providing support and resources for people going through divorce. They have the blog, they have social media posts, they do in-person events, they have a Fresh Start fitness program. In fact, Rebecca and I just interviewed Judy Herbst, their public relations mastermind. And that episode, keep a lookout for that. That's going to be airing very soon. But until then, go check out their website at worthy.com because this article had some good pointers on what to do when you find yourself without your kids on the holidays. And you know, one thing I thought was really brilliant in the article is it pointed out it's inevitable or almost inevitable that sooner or later you're going to have holidays without your children. Because as your children grow up and create their own lives and their own families, you know, we're going through that now that we have older children and they start having families of their own. You know, you will start having holidays without your kids anyway. It just may be starting earlier if you went through a divorce or separation. But the article points out that one of the things you can do for yourself if you find yourself without your children and a significant other on the holidays is start some new traditions of your own. There's nothing stopping you from still making it a wonderful holiday for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, you can definitely do some nice things for yourself, maybe travel. You know, if that's something you've always wanted to do, go someplace you've always wanted to go or do something.
Christmas in Italy.
Kind of unconventional, you know, go to the beach or go kayaking or something, you know, go hiking. Or maybe do something that will make you feel good about the day, like volunteering. You know, you can always volunteer at a soup kitchen or a hospital or a nursing home. There's other people that are also alone. And maybe, you know, taking the focus off yourself could also help you to feel better. And, you know, focusing on what you have and what you have to be grateful for will always help. There's always, always, always something to be grateful for.
Always. That's really one of the great truths of life. So keep in mind that although things are different this year, it can still be a great holiday.
Yes. So try some of the tips that we've gone over so that instead of a bah humbug, it could be a holly jolly holiday.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.